Good morning. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us by calling 4341-790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. You can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Graham Vaughan is the technical operator. Producer Kevin Hines is taking care of the production assistant duties. I'm Dennis Johnson. Now that's your team. We go until 1 o'clock. It is, of course, the post-election period, and we enter the pre-crop over period, inter-crop over, with fireworks starting at 2. So between the hours of 1 and 2 o'clock, of course, our paid for programs, those people who ensure that we have some type of income so we can pay those who labor in the vineyards, usually request that period for their paid for programs. And we invite you to join us as we continue the day's programming. I want to add my voice to those who have extended congratulations to Prime Minister Motley and her team on their resounding victory at the polls. I think a reminder that much is expected from those to whom much is given is perhaps not a cliche, but I suppose words that you can ponder on as you go forward. I was one of the people who would have preferred to have seen a smaller cabinet. I heard people talking about trying to avoid a backbench revolt. Front benches have revolted from time to time as well. So it's a case of how you manage your team. It's not a case of whether you have a back or a front bench. But if the mess that currently is happening on the south coast of Barbados is corrected within a short period, and pleasant smells return to that coast in time for visitors who come for crop over, and certainly visitors who will be here by next winter season, as we call it, that would be a positive step. And if we have scheduled and regular garbage collection in and around Barbados, so that those who have been complaining about a lack of a regular garbage collection service have their wish, and if the chaos that currently ensues in our public transportation system is corrected, I personally do not like a bus stand for one set of buses and another bus stand for another set of buses and a third bus stand for a third set of buses. I don't think we could afford it. Then the size would not matter, because if there's satisfaction, I don't think people query the size or lack thereof. I think when there's large size but no satisfaction, people ask, what's the purpose of having all that size? And I think perhaps that will quell my concern. I also have concerns about public interaction. Personally, I would like to see the Office of Public Counsel actually do something and relate to the public when they do something and say why they've done it and why they haven't. And of course, this thing we've created called the Ombudsman that has gone fairly silent and dormant, although there's been someone in that position for a while. See, this communication with the public, and I saw someone writing about various places, I think it was in The Nation, needing communication specialists. There are lots of places in Barbados with communication specialists. The problem is they don't communicate. National Insurance Scheme has a corporate communication specialist. The SSA has one. The Transport Board has one. The BTII. Most of the agencies of government had corporate communication specialists. BRA. But it's opening the lines of communication and actually having a dialogue with the public. It was interesting hearing the press being singled out for as one of the reasons for the defeat. And that, too, I take with a smile. So those who kept our numbers close to them and kept in touch with us over a period of time, let's see what happens now as they assume high office. I want to extend my congratulations to the Minister of Culture, who has been no stranger to the various microphones here at Starcom Network over a period of time. I wish him all the best, and we will see what happens going forward. Likewise, Mr. Strawn, Mr. Ware, Sandra Husbands, they've all been voices heard regularly on the call-in program from time to time. We will see how they communicate with the public in this new dispensation. So, you can pick up your phones, you can call us, and we can have a chat. It's all about somebody's picked up on my size versus satisfaction. Yeah, there are people who are apparently alive. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, and you can join us. Good morning. Okay, that's Tony Dale. The other interesting comment that I've been following is the comments made by Hamilton Lashley in to the members of the Democratic Labour Party about wiping the slate clean and starting over. The post-election period is always a difficult one for a losing party. There will be recriminations. There'll be people who will seize the opportunity to say what should have happened. I always remind people that those who said Hail Hosanna on Sunday said crucify him on Friday. So we need to be very careful about those who come around washing us in prayers when things are up. But the chance to rebuild means that you have 5 years to move the party in a direction that would once again try to capture the imagination of the people. I think what has happened over a period of time, almost the entire time, I think, post the David Thompson, the death of David Thompson, was that the supporters of the Democratic Labour Party stuck around and made mincemeat of those who dared say, we don't agree with what you're doing. And therefore, they found themselves in a position in having alienated so many people, they don't know how to try to get them back, including some of their own supporters who are the most vocal in their criticisms. It's just that they hid it behind all sorts of other names and made various types of statements. You can't walk away from a public that has supported you over a long period of time. And to even suggest that you would not place people in the Senate is a further slap in the face of those who've given you support over a period of time. That type of thinking has to go out of our politics. And the spectacle of the former Prime Minister standing by himself with his arms folded on election night at party headquarters is one of the worst things one can do to one's leader. Memories of Kamala Prasad Bisesa having arrived by helicopter and Mercedes-Benz on election night in Trinidad having to ask somebody from a constituency to please give her a drop home in their car after the results were known. It's, I guess, signs of the times. I'm told that outside Lanterns Mall, the flowing continues. I saw it yesterday outside the post office, the Worthing Post Office as well. So that's been happening. Let's see if the lines are back with us again. They are flashing. Brass Tacks, good morning. Let me see if I can get you on. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'd like to say congratulations and well wishes are in order for the Prem and Molly, mm-hmm. her cabinet ministers, MPs, as well as the BLP family, and all Barbadians who went out on Deliverance Day and voted emphatically against the DLP and their failed policies and the 10-year lost years that they spent in government. This is not a time to gloat because Operation Rescue and Rebuild is in progress as of the 25th day of May 2018. After a few days, one is able to see the opposite leadership styles of former Prem Shirt and PM Morley. The former gave philosophical speeches. He demonstrated tardiness, self-doubt, like Barbados doing its best in the midst of a world recession, etc. And he also showed no plan of action. Right? Why is the latter gave continues to give motivational speeches, demonstrates urgency, self-belief, like Barbados could once again become a leader in the world, and punches above its weight. She also know, yes, we can, and yes, we shall. She did.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Oh, there's something I want to ask you when you go. Go ahead, please.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. She described her plan of action. Also, she demonstrated a team and consensus building approach. The Prime Minister obviously hit the road running, right? A couple of hours after the signing, she and the Attorney General signing, she met with the parliamentary group. In 3 days, the cabinet were sworn in, and in 4 days, the administration were on the job. Now, I would like to say one thing about the size of the cabinet.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. That's what I was going to ask you, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it's always said that you don't manage in a crisis, you just lead in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, Ms. Morley said up front with the reason for the size of the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that you cannot deal with a crisis as, like, you know, a thing like running the mill.
Right.
I obviously think that's what happened even the last administration when we had the water shortages, and then and more currently the South Shore project.
Mm-hmm.
Those were said there. It was said that there were crises, but the government never acted as though there were crises. I'm saying, yes, Barbados is in a crisis. We're on the brink. And you have to put all hands on deck. And time is of the essence.
The question I was going to ask about that is, do you think it's sustainable, or do you think it's a case of solving what has to be solved and then streamlining the operations of government?
Yes, I believe that. If you listen to her, it has to be, as I said, it can't be sustainable.
Mm.
It's because of the crisis situation, in time is of essence, that's what it is to my mind. And I think you could glean from what she said that what it would be.
Yeah, because it's one of the things that's why I made the comment about if there is satisfaction, the size of the cabinet, the size would not matter because there is satisfaction. Because there are things sitting here over a period of time the
right.
public has made complaints about.
Right.
And that's why I mentioned some of them. The situation with our public transport, the
yes.
situation with maintenance of government's vehicles and roads, right?
Issues.
Good. The issue with the South Coast Sewage Project, you mentioned the
right.
South Coast Sewage issue, you mentioned that, and also
right.
with garbage. Now,
right.
there are other things people have complained about that I have made note of. And one of the questions that came up in my mind was, where would you put the ministries? Because, for example, people call here to complain that to register and receive benefits for unemployment, they have to
right.
go to Upper Kalamurok and then go to Warren's.
No worries.
Right. So the question is, when we're setting up the various ministries, how are we looking at how we engage the public?
Right.
Because it is always good to say we will put ministries where they were originally, because I see some people going into buildings that were occupied by previous ministries.
Right.
But if the public is unable to access the various ministries in a timely fashion, either online or by moving around, then they will become bothered by the size of the cabinet. If
yeah.
you could go to Kalamurok, for example, to sign in for your unemployment benefits and then walk up to the British American
next
building
night.
That is supposed to be part of government to do the other half of it,
that
would make sense.
Of
you know,
course.
People will not complain that they got to take 2 buses and go mm-hmm. across the country and that type of thing. So the question of how you maintain the ministries once they're in place will be something that
yeah.
the public will have to look at.
Exactly. And it's not a sample size. Yes, so it looked so, but she said that out front. Now, quite critically, mm-hmm. now, you have ideas, huh? But you know what's very, very important? This is one of the failures of the last administration. You have to sell an idea.
That is true, too.
You have to sell an idea. You can't just come and put things, and she said that up front. She said it up front. This is the reason why I'm doing it. Uh-huh. So you can't just come and do something and without selling the idea, you know? So I believe that she did the correct thing. She said the reason why this is why I'm doing it.
The other question I wanted to ask you was your thoughts on the Article 4 consultation. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a gentleman who pays attention to statistics and numbers. The consultation.
But as I said, what more can you really say about these things? Because this is...
How are we going to mend it?
Huh?
How are we going to mend it? Because that's a big hole that has to be mended and urgently.
But as you notice, the Prime Minister is moving. Yes, because as I said, she's importantly in the Mr. Abed. He said the same thing this morning.
Yeah, I saw that comment from him.
3 months to 6 months.
There'll be an increase in activity. But you see, but hold on a second there. If the increase in commercial activity is one of foreign exchange outlay as opposed to foreign exchange inlay, we may be exacerbating the problem. I had a chance to chat with Mr. Abed as the outgoing president of the Chamber of Industry and Commerce. And one of the things he said was that in an attempt to revitalize Bridgetown, a proposal had been made to the former government to make Bridgetown a duty-free zone where Bajans who have foreign currency could shop with it in Bridgetown. It was never implemented, but it's one of the things they would like to see.
Right.
Now, if you have suggestions from the business community of how to increase the foreign exchange inflows to offset some of the outflows that will come when people start to buy for Christmas and try to resuscitate, if you do not have an inflow, we're going to end up with this continuing question of a drain. So it is how we encourage the business community to put in as well as take out the foreign exchange into Barbados.
But a critical thing there, the intangible, the confidence of that.
Yeah, I know. The confidence is something that has to be rebuilt.
That is the real, real factor. Mm-hmm. And as you can see the big smiles and you can see she's interacting, you know, with the stakeholders. This is critical going forward. So I believe she's on the right track, you know, and she knows what she's all about.
We shall see, sir. Okay. I look forward to hearing from you. And thank you for the comment. I am waiting to see when Warrens will be declared the industrial or the financial or the, I don't know what, the seat of power in Barbados, because the number of towers going up, and I am sure there'll be ministries moving there as well. But anyway, and one of my biggest concerns is that we learn how to use that roundabout next to the small chef, because we still ain't getting it right. Brass Stacks, good morning, sir.
A very pleasant day to you, sir.
And to you too, sir.
Okay. I want you to spend time discussing a matter with me, and I also want to extend congratulations to the government elected and all the cabinet members and the Prime Minister of Barbados. Mr. Johnson, I am kind of concerned on the, even though we've got a finish as far as the electoral process in Barbados is concerned. I am concerned that there seems to be a deterioration, a flaw in the electoral process of Barbados. I came along at a time when we were proud of our electoral process in relation to people casting their votes. Then in 1966, when it was amended to accommodate a younger vote, I was also impressed. I'm saying that to say this, right? We have a situation where many people seem not to have been able to vote this time around because of some delay at some point, or some people who lived in one part of the island found themselves at another point of the island to cast the vote. Now, reason why, and I've done my homework, is that I've realized that there is no collaboration, one, between the registry. We know for a fact that the registry is going through a serious amount of problems because of the problem with the building, and they've moved from point A to point B. Two, that the Postmaster General, as far as I'm concerned, and the residents, as far as the whole lady is concerned, are not working in connection with the boundaries and the electoral board. Mark, why did you say that? I'm saying that based on several investigations, and I don't want nobody to tell me it isn't so, because I have done it, I have studied it, I've worked on it for the last 6 months, and I'm going to be factual on this one. Where it is that to date that you can still find people who have died since 2014, 2016? I mean, when you look at it, the fact of the matter is that death certificates are not issued. Death certificates and birth certificates comes out of the registration office, and this is where all bulk of registration and deaths are coordinated. I am amazed to think that in this day and age, where there's so much technology, Mr. Johnson, that people are being buried in this country without death certificates. No undertaker can come and tell me that isn't true, because it is true. That when you look at the electoral process, and you look at the list, and you see that there's several people who died 7 and 8 years ago, and they're still on the list. The electoral officers tell you that they did not receive the death certificate from the registry. Why are people buried and nobody can come and tell Mr. Johnson? I'm very concerned about this, because I want to know if people are buried in this country without death certificates. And if that is so, it needs to stop. I know that funeral directors can go to the hospital and a body can be released to them for a burial. I know that they will keep the body for a certain amount of time pending the expense and looking after the family so that there will not be a further expense on that person. But they should not be buried unless there's a death certificate issued. No, I say that to say this, right? Anyone can say that they know it is a fact, as far as people. But the problem is that there need to be a marriage between the registration office and the electoral board in terms of removal people off the list. Secondly, there's a problem when people go for a new ID card. The new ID card, you give the address of where you live now. Somewhere along the line, your name remains on the electoral as two addresses now. You've moved from the address of previous, so you've now changed to another address. And the problem here, Mr. Johnson, is that when you go to change your ID card, that address creates a situation that they don't remove your name from the position. You're stranded. That is why some people have to go and vote in St. Philip, because they've since moved, a man from St. Lucie. Some people got to go and vote in St. John, a man from St. Thomas. The reason for that is that there is a problem. That person would have changed their ID card. They cannot tell me no, Mr. Johnson. They've investigated it. That person, as far as I'm concerned, had an ID card change, and the new address creates the problem. So the person, when they go to vote, they find that the name is not on the list.
No, you say you want me to have a conversation, so let me try to have a conversation.
I got time.
Till 1 o'clock. I ain't gonna keep you on the line till 1 o'clock, but we have a conversation.
I appreciate that.
I said, on more than one occasion, I'm gonna start blowing my own trumpet now. I'm gonna pick up the trumpet. I used to play the guitar, but I'm gonna pick up the trumpet. I said that we need to start teaching people civics so they understand registration, voting, ensuring that certain things are done, and do not wait until the election is called. One.
That's
two,
right.
The challenge with taking people off the electoral list when they die simply because you have a death certificate puts you in a position where people may remove names without you knowing. So there must be a place to write next to the name, D. Johnson died XXX date, removed XXX date, and signed off by somebody. Okay? The reason why I'm saying that is because my uncle also has the initial D. Johnson. He lived in Chelsea Road. He named me off the list yet neither. And he's been dead for quite a while. As a matter of fact, we have the same initials, DF.
Wow.
So we only had the first initial, we got the second one too. Okay? So
yes,
I know exactly what you're talking about. But the thing is, there is a death certificate. It's just a year removed off the list. So the question is, what's the process of taking a name off the list? One. Two, the change of address. This country has this quaint thing about people voting in what? In their homestead. So that somebody who's born in St. John lives in St. Philip for the last 15 years, but votes in St. John because that's the ancestral home. We're either fixing that or we're not fixing it. Right? because you will have the same issue you're talking about with a man in St. Peter, wherever else, voting in St. Lucie, or worse yet, in Christchurch West. Now, all these housing estates that have been established across Barbados, and people went into them in the last year, the Grotto, Lancaster 1 and 2, unless the Electoral and Boundaries Commission updated those people, if they changed their voting address in a timely fashion, printed it, had it checked, double-checked, and the people themselves could check, and the representatives of the 8 or 9 parties have checked, then we have a flaw in the system too. And that is one of the challenges I had on the day prior to Election Day, when the Electoral and Boundaries Commission sent a notice, or the GIS, sorry, sent a notice to this station saying the new electors list is printed, it in Warrens and it in some other place, and that's it, full stop, not telling me the opening times, what times I can view it, no online, and that's why I made the comment earlier, I am taking note of everything I say from here on in. That's why I made the comment earlier on about having people carrying the name of corporate communication specialists who don't communicate. Because if you don't tell me that Tower 2 in Warrens is open from 8 to 5 or 8 to 8 for the viewing of the electoral list, don't tell me it in Warrens. It don't make sense.
Mr. Johnson,
we have these people who are drawing salaries and doing nothing.
Let me come back in here, Mr. Johnson.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
Let me come back. I got to say that. Mm-hmm. The registration office, I remember the days when it was there in Bridgetown, just there outside the court. The registration office is there for the registering of births and deaths.
Mm-hmm.
There's a known fact that you cannot transfer a person on the registration list unless that person consents and signs to the transfer.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a known fact that you cannot remove a person from the registration list unless you've got substantial proof.
You have a proof, which is a death certificate.
They're out of the country for good.
I know.
Let me explain what I'm saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Johnson is still alive.
Right.
But Dennis Johnson lives in St. Lucie, cannot be found.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot transfer Dennis Johnson unless he is dead. If he's alive, Dennis Johnson has to consent to that transfer by way of signature.
Mm-hmm.
So no politician or no canvasser can go and transfer Dennis Johnson unless Dennis Johnson signs to that transfer. This mm-hmm. is how important the People's Registration Act is concerned. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't. I went as far as to find out that the last digits, you have your ID card number, and the last digits, whether it be 0078 or 001, that tells the person's That is the evidence about the person. That is the evidence about the person. That says that even though you've got a registration number of the year you've buried, of the month you've buried, but that dash numbers at the end are very important to the registration. I am concerned, and I'm calling on Mr. Johnson. I'm saying this because even though we've got a final position on the electoral process as far as voting is concerned, we cannot continue because too many people are dropping out of the system. Too many people are in the system. Too many things are happening. And I'm serious to think that families are still waiting today on death certificates to settle wills. Families are still waiting on death certificates to have estates settled. Yeah. And you have got to, Mr. Johnson, it is not as simple as my saying it. It is that I have spent the last year, and God above know I did this for a reason, the last year investigating what is happening. I am calling on the process. I know that there will be a change of the boundaries in the electoral board now. The government has changed, and you will now have a new board in place. The opposition would have 2 members in position. The government have at least 3 or 4 members. I am saying that whoever is the chairman, whoever is the person chief at the boundaries in the electoral board, that they need to set up an understanding between the registry, they need to set up an understanding between the general post office and obvious, between now and whenever the time comes, you will have a better understanding of not having to send Dennis Johnson to St. Lucie when he lives in Chelsea.
Look, let me say to you, the whole question of e-government, e-commerce, this, how we go online, making sure that servers are secure against hacking, the whole question of transitioning or governmental business, the business of government, from paper and messengers in cars driving up and down into a secure online system. You know, even sitting here in the organization I work with, it is frustrating when you reach for commercials that are not there, or you play a program that's a wrong program, and it's because of computer glitches and errors or human error using a computer, okay? So it must be just as difficult for government. Understood that. Worked in a bank with computerization, and I know the challenges therefrom. But we must get to the stage where we are able to conduct our business in a manner that is more efficient. So when you go to the Barbados Revenue Authority to pay a license and you're told the system is down or the system is being upgraded so you can't do business for the next 3, 4, 5 hours, we have to get past that stage because that's inefficiency. And inefficiency leads to wastage. And wastage is what we can't afford. So which government minister is responsible for ensuring that e-government, e-commerce, the business of transacting online is done efficiently and soonest? Because it has to be one of the steps that we take to streamline the efficiencies of government. And then we're going to deal with the duplication of state-owned enterprises and loss-making enterprises and what we do with them. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.